Good morning to each one. I want to greet you in Jesus' name. This does seem a little different. I pray or ask that you would keep praying. And I've felt blessed in the service this morning already, this far in how well things fit together. Tyler had a devotional about the story of Gideon and how Gideon trusted in God in spite of his only 300 people against thousands of Midianites. He trusted in God against all odds. And then in our Sunday school class, we talked about if we have a trouble with anger, how do we overcome that? And I just thought it went very well with what I felt the Lord wanted me to speak about. I've titled this, God is Able. And it comes from the verse in, 2 Corinthians 9:8. This verse, notice the tone of abundance in this verse. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Isn't that a verse of abundance? My cousin has this on his voicemail. When you call and he doesn't answer, then this verse comes up. And he said, after the verse, he says, may God help us to connect with this power more than any other. And I'm just blessed every time I hear that. Usually he answers, and so I don't get to hear it. But every once in a while I get to hear that. What a powerful verse. You know, there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. There's a difference between believing facts about God and simply believing God at his word. We read the promises of God in the Bible. Do we believe in those promises when I'm up against a problem? Trust is another word that would go along very well with, similar to the word belief. Can I trust God when I'm facing hard times in my life? So we want to think this morning about the need to simply believe that God is able. And when I mean believe, I don't mean just a head knowledge, but a heart acceptance of God, of the power that God offers, the grace he offers. And grace, I'm thinking, want to think of that as the power God gives to be victorious. I just want to read that verse again, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I'm going to write up here on the board, God is able. That thought has been such a blessing to me. I struggle with anger sometimes too. And if I can just stop and think, okay, God is in control of this situation. I don't need to get angry to try to, you know, get it back in control, try to get the hold of the reins again. I don't need to get angry. I don't need to get upset. I don't need to talk sharply to get people to listen to me. I can just remember God is able to handle even this. God is in control. I don't need to try to, that the situation isn't out of control. Whatever it might be, in our home, at work, in our country, no matter who gets the, who is chosen for president, God's not out of, or it's not out of, it's not an out of control situation. God is still in charge. How does that verse say? If I can pull it up now. as the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers, the king, I'll start over, just think of God's hand. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. God is in charge. And so I'm just, that's what I want to think about this morning. God is able. In thinking of an example from the Bible, in the New Testament it says that in Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham had some, God had told him that I'm going to make you, of you, a great nation. Your seed will be like the stars of the sky, or like the sand which is by the seashore. Have you ever tried counting all the grains of sand? Impossible. Impossible. So have you ever tried counting the stars? Again, it's impossible. But, you know, when Abraham was given that promise, it was just Abraham and Sarah. They didn't have 10 children or 12 children or, you know, even one. They didn't even have one child at that time. How in the world is this ever going to be possible? But that's where it took faith. And it says that Abraham believed God. That belief was so strong. It was faith. It was trust. It was belief. But it was counted to him for righteousness. We'll get to that a little bit later. Talk more about Abraham. Well, pardon me, I have a hard time following the notes here sometimes. Abraham was a man of faith. I did have it here, so I guess I'll go ahead. I'm talking about Abraham. We'll keep going. But he also made mistakes. He was human. He didn't. There were one of the mistakes he made. When him and Hagar had a son. Maybe he was trying to help God out. I'm not sure. But it was. And then Ishmael was born, as I understand, about 14 or 15 years before Isaac. And that was a grief to Abraham and the Israelites from then on. It was a grief to Abraham when the boy was young, and later that the descendants of Ishmael were enemies of the Israelites. It was an example, though, of a man that didn't trust in God. How many times have we done the same thing? We have failed to trust, and then we brought problems on ourselves because of that failure to trust. I'm sure we all have experienced that. I know I have. Lack of trust, lack of faith. Abraham was called to leave. As I understand, he went with his father, Terah, and some of his brothers and nephew and so on. They left Ur, the Chaldees, they went to Haran. Then Terah died there, and then God asked Abraham to go from Haran on to Canaan. And so Abraham went in faith. Hebrews says he went out not knowing whither he went. Another time that Abraham was tested was when he was asked to offer up his son Isaac. And he believed God. The Bible says he got up early the next morning, prompt obedience. And he went. Tremendous faith. The son was finally born. How could God keep this promise if I go and kill this one son? Lord, what do you mean? How? But he obeyed. He didn't understand it all, but he got up and he went. On the way, the young man, I don't know how old Isaac was, I think somewhere maybe around 15 to 17, I'm not quite sure. Maybe I'm getting it mixed up with Joseph. Young man, anyway. Wasn't just an infant anymore, but he was old enough to help carry some things. And he asked, Dad, we have the fire and the wood here. Or how was that? We have this. Anyway, he asked, I think he asked, where's the fire? And his father, we have the fire and the wood here, where is the lamb? I think that was his question. And Abraham said, God will provide. That took faith. I'm sure his father heart was just crying. How can I go on with this? How can I do this? How is this all going to work out? But he went in faith. He believed God. He believed. And how many times today are we asked, not in as high profile a way as that was probably, but still, in his day, he didn't know there was going to be a book written about this later on, probably. And it was just him and his relationship with God, and that's how it is for us. It's me and my relationship with God. It's you and your relationship with God each day. When we're tested and tried, and how do we respond? Do we believe God? Do we hang on to the promises of God? Or do we decide for ourselves if it makes sense or not? What is this believing really? We have a great God that we serve. Jesus, he sent his son Jesus to die for us, to demonstrate that love for us. And we know this. We have oftentimes read about the sacrifice, and we understand it at least in a measure. I'm sure we weren't there. We didn't see it, much less experience it to that extent. But we know it was an enormous sacrifice. God loves us, and he longs to make something good out of these troubles that we're facing. He longs to make something good out of that. Believing that our great, omnipotent, an omnipresent and omniscient God loves us and is able to turn any bad that comes to us into something good and make us better people in spite of it. And many times even because of it. Because we've suffered, then we've grown. How many times have we grown when everything's going well? Everything's going sailing smoothly. Everything's just going great. That's not usually when we grow very much, is it? But we grow when we suffer, when we go through trials, when we have to give up, when we have to surrender, when we're broken, through those experiences, that's when we grow closer to the Lord. I want to write these words on the board. Omnipotent. See if I can. Let's see. I'll try to keep it up high where we can see it. Omnipotent. I remember when I learned these words, let's see, that means all-powerful. Many of us know these words, but for the children's sake, I thought I'd write them up here. Let's see, omnipotent, here we go, omnipresent. That means everywhere present. Can you see the red marker? It's a little dim. Can you see it back there, Fred? Okay, I hope it's clear. Let's see. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient is the last one. Better look how to spell that. Now, if you look right here, the word potent comes, our word powerful is similar to the word powerful. Present, we all know what that means, where God is. And then omniscient, this is a little harder one, but if you look at that closely, it looks similar to the word science or knowing. That's how I remember it in a way, omniscient. So it's God is omnipresent, he's omnipotent, all powerful. Omnipresent, everywhere present. He's omniscient, all-knowing. Now, why do we need to have those words up there? Well, to help us remember how great our God is. God is all-powerful. He is in control of every situation. Nothing can happen to you and I that God isn't in control of. And, let's see, I wanted to do something else. I'm going to take another color and go around here. Just make a big, well, that's not very bright. Let's try something else. Just to think of, in our techie world that we live in, you know, you can, if you have Wi-Fi in your house, there's a like a Wi-Fi blanket that is a term they use that goes over the whole house. And I'm thinking of, had to think of that as I thought of God being all powerful. You know, His power is over everything. It's putting a blanket over everything. There's no place we can go, find ourselves that doesn't have God's power there. God's power is over everything, all the time, everywhere. He knows everything. We have a beautiful verse in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Many of us know it by heart. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Let's see here, I'm pulling. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God, that's a beautiful promise. God will never allow you and I to be tested more than we can bear. Another angle we can look at, with every temptation that God allows us to face, there's always an escape route. There's always a way out with God's help. That's a big promise. That is an enormous promise. That gives me a lot of hope and comfort. God will never allow me to be tested more than I can stand with His help. That blanket of power, God's blanket of power, is out over my life and your life, everywhere, all the time, day or night. The Bible says the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. It doesn't matter if it's light or dark, if it's daytime or nighttime, God's power is there. Okay, this kind of believing, or this trusting God in this way, is not just a blind, baseless believing, but God loves us. He wants to bless us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then back to the verse we read earlier. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That covers everything. Can I simply believe that God is able, even though there may be many things about my situation I don't understand? Can I believe that God is able to make something beautiful and beneficial from this situation that I'm currently facing? And I'd like to just name a number of things that people face. I haven't faced all of these. Probably none of us have faced all of these. Some of us have faced some of these, but thinking of the longing, are we facing the longing to just have good health again? Are we dealing with sickness, maybe a terminal illness, cancer, or, you know, that's almost a bad word nowadays, but it's a terrible thing to hear that diagnosis, or maybe some other kind of incurable disease. What about the stresses of financial reverses? Is that what we're facing? What about the death of a family member? That's really hard. It's just devastating. What about the disappointment of a relationship that isn't working out like I expected? Or what about the heartaches of having a wayward child? The pain of an unfaithful spouse? Or some life-changing accident that now I'm crippled for the rest of my life? What about the longing to have a marriage partner? That's a normal longing. That's a God-given longing. Or what about the awkwardness of being childless? Or the stress of a pending lawsuit against us? Or problem relationships at work or at home or wherever we are? Or mocking from work associates or friends? They mock our faith in God or our way of doing something. Whatever the problem we're facing, God is able. God is able. His power is over everything, all the time. We don't need to. Nothing can happen that where God, where it happened like when God had his back turned. Remember the promise that he will never allow us to be tempted more than we can bear. When we're tempted to get angry and to try to get a hold of the situation again, maybe it feels out of control. It just makes it worse. It doesn't help. It hinders. Can we trust God when our health is leaving us, or maybe it's left us? Can we trust that God will bring some good out of this? He can somehow. I don't know how. It looks hopeless to me, but I'm not in charge. It's God, thank God. And so, can we trust? Let's take our burdens to the Lord in prayer. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, be careful for nothing, or be full of care about nothing. Another way would say, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all knowledge, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a beautiful verse. It instructs us to take our problems to God. Don't be anxious and worried, but take them to God with thanksgiving. Take them to God in prayer with thanksgiving. You know, it was mentioned this morning in our Sunday school class, and this talking about how to overcome anger, one of the brethren mentioned the thing about counting our blessings, how that helps us so much, and it's true. Stop and count our blessings. Count our blessings. Name them one by one, and it helps to write them down. Several of you, probably most of us, remember several years ago when Ken Miller was facing prison, and we happened to be going through there, through that area, and my wife knew his wife, so we stopped and looked them up. And in their home, this was after he was, I'm not sure, at least he hadn't gone to prison yet, but he was facing it. And in their home, on the wall, they had 6 notebook sheets with numbers on them, up to 1,000. And over for a title, they had written 1,000 things we're thankful for, and they were up to 600 and some. Tried not to duplicate anything, but things they were thankful for, and this is how they coped with the pressure and the stress they were under of Daddy going to prison. You know, what's going to happen to our family? How long is he going to have to be there? It'd be a burden over any of us. It'd be a stress. That's how they coped. At least one of the ways they coped was count their blessings, put it on the wall, make it a family project where we can all see it and help. And the children, as well as the parents, if they thought of something that wasn't up there yet, they'd write it up there. Try it. It makes a difference. When we were at CASP, we did that. We didn't get up to 600. We went to 300. But it really helps. Count our blessings. Now, I'd like your help want to think a little bit of some examples in the Bible of people who chose to trust God. I'm going to erase some of this and would like your input of names of people who chose to trust God. We had one this morning, Gideon. We'll just put that up here.
David.
Okay, David. I think somebody said something.
Jesus.
Pardon me?
Jesus.
Jesus, thank you. Yes.
Elijah.
Okay, Elijah. And we could probably go on and put down quite a few more. But these are examples of people who trusted, who were faced with a problem, but they trusted in God instead of giving up, getting discouraged, saying, I can't do it. But God gives strength for those tests in the same way that we have the promise that God will not allow us to be tempted or tested more than we can bear. These people were never tested more than they could bear either. So God gives strength. God gives grace. And there are others as well. Think of the Anabaptist martyrs. We have the thick book, the Martyr's Mirror. You know, it's a pretty good sized book, the Martyr's Mirror, thick. It tells of several thousand people who gave their lives, and there are many, many others that aren't in that book, who gave their lives for their faith, who, as the songwriter says, in spite of dungeon, fire and sword, they were faithful to the end. And then I had to think of John Troyer, a modern day martyr who died in 1981. You probably know the story. They're in Guatemala. Him and his family had just gone to bed, and then they were awakened about midnight and heard it outside. And John stood there by the fence post. We went to visit later and saw the corner of the fence where they had the family stand in front of that corner, John and his wife and their five young children, and Gary Miller, the VSer, beside. And there were over a dozen Guatemalan guerrillas around there, heavy with their guns. And they asked several questions, and John answered them in a calm way. No doubt his heart was, he didn't know what was coming of this. He didn't know. But he didn't get angry and lose it there. He was calm. And then they shot him and shot Gary as well. John died. Gary survived. But he gave his life for his Lord. He trusted God to the end. He knew God was in control. We can only imagine how desperate he felt inside, but he was faithful to the end. These people faced daunting difficulties, but they believed God, and they proved it by the way they lived. Now, we also have several examples in the Bible of people that didn't trust God. That's one thing I like, that I appreciate about the Bible. It doesn't just say all the good things people did, but it lists some bad things too that they did, and which is it helps us sometimes when we're studying a certain subject or a word or whatever, it helps us to see the opposite, to understand it better. I already mentioned the example of Abraham, how he had a son with Hagar. Jonah, he didn't depend on God. He tried to run away from God. Imagine, he must not have remembered that blanket of power over everything. God, there was no running away from God. That's impossible. There's no place we can go and get away from God. Peter, when Peter's world of being part of Christ's earthly kingdom was falling apart, he tried to distance himself from Jesus and his unfolding fate. He denied Jesus three times. The Bible says he cursed and swore that he didn't know Jesus. He tried to distance himself. I don't know who this is. But Peter didn't leave it there. He repented. You know, Judas, he realized he had done something wrong. And his response was not a good one. He went out and hung himself, committed suicide. Now, how does trusting in God make a difference in our lives? How do we respond when our faith in God is weak? We resort to our own resources first. How many times have we tried, when we're faced with a trial, a test, we try our own way first. And then finally, when things don't work out, we run into problems. Then we pray. I've done that many times, far too often. But if we can only be wise, learn from our own mistakes or from others, and learn to turn to God first. Have a faith that is alive, even when things are hard. Turn to God first instead of last. We talked about the response of anger and how that doesn't help. If we truly believe that God is in control, we let him work it out his way in his own time and way. Let's ask God to help us turn to him first when we are tested, instead of after we've tried in our own strength. I have a song here that I'd like to read. Some of us probably know this song. It's He Giveth More Grace. He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as the labors increase. To added afflictions, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. And then the chorus. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. In conclusion, if we forget everything else, hopefully we can remember these three simple words here on the board. God is able. God is able. Next time when we're tested with a problem, if it feels like we're out of, the situation is out of control, like it's beyond me, this is more than I can bear. Help. Let's pray ahead of time that God would help us, like Daniel, to purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself and wander away from God. Let's surrender our will ahead of time and plan ahead of time how to respond when we feel like life is just getting away from us. Let's remember that God's blanket of power, God's blanket of, I'm not sure if control is the right word, God's blanket of power is over us all the time, everywhere, day or night. Nothing can come that's more than we can bear. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God wants his people to be faithful, productive, praying people, trusting in him. Let's kneel for prayer.